Welcome to Motivated to Lead podcast, helping you become a better leader. I'm your host, Mark Klingsheim. Hi, everyone. Thanks again for joining us for our podcast this week. My name is Mark Klingsheim with SEMA Partners. Each week, we interview leaders and they share lessons learned from their careers. Our goal is to help you become a better leader. This is our 152nd episode, and if you're new to our podcast, I encourage you to go back and listen to some of the previous episodes. This week, we're going to revisit one of our earlier episodes with Karen Long. Karen has been a CEO. She sits on a number of boards. She is currently a managing director at KCK Medical, which invests in commercial and growth stage medical device companies. And we're looking forward to today's conversation with Karen. I guess first off, Karen, can you give us just a little bit of your background, a little bit of your story?
Sure. Well, I have a sort of twisted path to getting to be a venture capitalist and working in investments in medical device. I started my career as a social worker, clinical social worker, working in an emergency room. So who would have thunk that I would sort of create this path? And I think that's part of my experience is just having different journeys, different experiences along the way that sort of gave me a holistic experience and finally led me to this job. But I spent most of my career, frankly, in medical devices, working on the commercial side of the business and marketing. And I had the good fortune of ending up to spend a decade of my career with J&J. And those were really formative years, and they helped me be a good marketer, really understanding the patient experience, the patient journey, which I think has always served me well in the companies that I've been affiliated with.
Great. Well, take us back to, knowing what you know now, if you'd go back and talk to a 22-year-old Karen, what advice would you give her if you were given that chance?
Oh, that's so interesting. You don't have to have everything planned out. At 22, I think I was just starting graduate school in social work. And you kind of, even at that stage, have to decide what you're going to focus on even within that profession. And so I decided to focus on healthcare and working in a hospital. Mm-hmm. And I just assumed that would be the job I had for the rest of my life. I mean, everyone I knew had one job, one career for their life, and I wanted to excel in that job. And what I would say to my 22-year-old self is get as many experiences as you can. But just be open to change, be open to new experiences, because you have no idea who you are at 22, how you'll want to spend your life. And frankly, you'll have lots of careers along the way if you're open to it. And so I think just being open and not trying to plan out life at 22 is what I would tell her.
So with that background, working in a hospital and kind of that social the clinical side of things. How has that impacted kind of your career and what you do now and how you think about things?
Well, it's had a tremendous impact on my career. I mean, it allowed me to step into the medical device world, which I had no experience with and probably would have never done. So that sort of counseling background, I specialized in grief counseling, helped me get my first job, which was working on the first home HIV test. And running the counseling department that had to give the results. So that, you know, I leaned into that clinical experience really heavily, but I think just fundamentally sort of the skill set of behavior change, listening, group dynamics, negotiation are all skills that I've continued to use in every company that I've worked in. And I think you kind of learn to hone your EQ skills early on when you're a counselor and you have to work closely with people. And there's never a shortage of that in leadership or in any of the teams that we work in. So I've absolutely leaned heavily into the formal training that I had.
So as leaders, and a lot of our listeners are people that are kind of moving into that first leadership role, whether they're inheriting a team or they're having to build out a team, you've seen a number of companies that have gone through that process of putting together their teams and that. What advice would you give somebody that is, again, in that seat now, and maybe they were an individual contributor, now they're moving into that leadership role? What advice would you give them?
Yeah, I mean, I've certainly had to build my own teams. And now as an investor, I watch teams being built. And what I would say is that my theory has not changed, which is hire people who are a lot smarter wiser, have different experiences than you do yourself or that other team members on your team have. I always say hire above. So hire someone that's ready for the next job. Don't try to skimp and say, well, I want to save a little money. I don't think I'll need that person quite yet. I'm going to wait. Build the A-plus team from day one and be opportunistic. If it isn't the right time, if you wanted that person 3 months from now, but you meet that person or someone recommends that person, I say go all in. You never make a mistake in hiring that kind of a team. The mistakes we make are when we don't make the choices that we think we should because we're trying to conserve cash or timing is off. And so I tell people all the time, the team is the most important part. It's as important as your product that you're developing and sometimes can be more important than your product. So go big when you're hiring your team and surround yourself with people that can complement your own skill sets.
So as somebody is looking at, as far as that that team and evaluating, are there some things that you think that people a lot of times they miss as far as they're looking at bringing somebody on and gaps that you see that people make tend to, it seems like there's certain mistakes people make over and over again. What are some
things? Early on in my career, and I've seen this in others, I relied way too much on a resume and way too much on looking at what school somebody went to and giving them extra credit for that. And now I rely much more on experiences. So I don't even think about their jobs. I mean, that's the first screen. But I think really understanding what experiences people had. So I always ask them, tell me about your average day. Like, walk me through a day versus, you know, tell me about the experience that you had at this company, because you'll learn a lot more about how they handle people, how they think strategically, if they're able to get into the weeds on the tactics. And if you're building your first team, you need somebody that can do all of those things. Mm-hmm. You know, you need a very broad based person. And so I rely much less on a resume. I think about experience. And then also it's just your network. You know, if they've worked for somebody that you know before, if it comes recommended from someone that you trust, that goes a long way for me.
So we were talking a little bit before we got started today that we're kind of a unique, definitely unique time, uncharted waters for most every leader. What are some things that you see leaders doing well during this time, or, you know, anything that you would tell somebody that's leading during this unprecedented time?
Yeah, communication. Communication to me is the thread that keeps the team together. And so over-communicating. I think when we're in-house with each other and we tend to see each other on a daily basis, we might have a company meeting once a month. Here, I not only advise our CEOs to do this, but the great ones do it on their own, is that they show up really regularly for all members of their team, not just their management team, but every single person in the company. And so I see weekly company meetings on Zoom, our new favorite way of communicating. I see much more one-on-ones, again, with their own team, but all the way down departments, you know, so that every person feels heard and understood. And I think we have to appreciate that people are going through lots of things at home on top of what they're having to deal with at work. And we kind of got to give people a break. And it's also important just to understand what is their reality. And you got to be really flexible. So I think over-communicating, having more flexibility with your team is really important today.
So as people are kind of looking for to keep their team together and to keep everybody kind of focused on the mission, besides communication, is there anything else that you see that's being effective as far as keeping people connected and focused during this time?
Well, it's no different than when we're together, which is you have to have a common goal, right? You have to have a vision, a mission, and a very clear goal and milestones to get there. And so I say the good leaders are really clear in that. Mm-hmm. And those goals and milestones might be much more short term. So you have the big vision, but they've got a goal for this week so that everybody's coming together to accomplish something. We all need little wins along the way. We can't wait when we're not together for sort of the big win. And we have to celebrate those. So good leaders, I see showing up with very clearly defined goals so that everyone feels like they're participating in something.
So I have to ask this question since you're a VC. What are some of the biggest mistakes people make when they're presenting an idea to a team at a VC firm?
Oh, the first thing is not being a team. So the team is the key word. And in Zoom, I'll just speak just of what we've seen kind of over the last 6 months, because all of our presentations are over Zoom, none are in person. The pitch matters, and being in sync as a group really matters. And you know that when you're in person, right? The team, the team, the team, and how they work together, how the CEO might let one person shine, doesn't always do all the talking. All that matters even more. And so the biggest pitfalls I've seen is that teams will come in disorganized on Zoom. They won't know who's presenting, who's taking the side. I'll hear things like, oh, you take that. Oh, really? Well, I thought you were going to take that. Like, be uber organized, be a super efficient. Just because you have time doesn't mean you need to take all the time. And so be polished. And I would say practice, practice, practice before you're getting on camera on Zoom.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, make sure your mic works, or make sure that you're connected. Any technology?
Or that you can show your slides.
Yeah, right. Right. Share your screen.
I've been on so many presentations where they can't share their screen well, yep. Or they want to pass it off to another team member. And it's like, have one person run the slides and just click.
There you go. So any technology that I know everybody's on Zoom, anything that else has helped you as an organization or personally that you think would be good for people to at least check out?
Yeah, as much as I'd like to have less Zoom, I'm going to have to give Zoom credit for keeping us all connected. But we use some other tools. We use WhatsApp at KCK. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's an easy way for us to communicate on the fly with each other, real time, share documents. So we tend to use that. And then I was introduced to sort of a collaboration tool called Mural, which I thought was really cool for the old brainstorming sessions that you would put up stickers on whiteboards and draw and move into Teams. You can do virtually. And it's very much run the same way. And so I've loved that tool. I've used it a fair amount, and I've recommended it a lot.
Okay. That's one I haven't heard of. I'm kind of a techie myself, but definitely will check that one out.
It's like brainstorming virtually. You literally can put up your stickies and write on them and cool. Move them around. It's super cool.
Okay. So books that you recommend to a leader, what are the top ones that you'd put?
Well, let's see, thinking about the fact that some of your leaders are maybe first-time CEOs, I would say the book that I read as a first-time CEO, which I think is really important, was called Startup Boards by Brad Feld. Trying to understand how to set up a board, I had no idea how to do it, frankly, the first time I was a CEO. And I see people struggle with that today. So just understanding sort of one, the legal regulatory piece of a board and the obligations, fiduciary obligations of a board, but secondarily kind of that alignment that needs to take place and really being strategic about who you bring on. I think people tend to bring on people they know or their friends. Really think about what your goals are for the company. So for me, that was the book I had by my bedside every night, reading a chapter a night. And then one that was recommended to me recently, actually, by our principal at KCK was called Immunity to Change by Robert Keegan, I think was his name. And that is, you know, right back to sort of my background, which is behavioral change and how we're all sort of resistant to change, right? We do things the same way. It makes us feel comfortable. It's predictable. The book was really helpful in understanding our own resistance to change and then how we set up organizations that way. And so how we can help organizations move forward by unlocking that resistance to change. So I thought that was a really interesting book and one I would recommend to anybody who's building teams.
Great. Yeah, those are a couple that I don't think we've had mentioned. So appreciate those suggestions. So outside of work, when you're not working, what do you do to recharge?
Well, I'm fortunate enough that I live not too far from the coast, and I grew up on the coast in Santa Cruz. And so the number one way to recharge is to go feel the energy of the ocean. So walking along the beach, there's an area in Aptos where you can walk for 6 miles in each direction. It's the longest beach you can walk on. Mm-hmm. And that's my number one way. So weekends, I drive to the coast.
Right. Well, being in Minnesota, you know, we're just thankful that we don't have snow on the ground right now. So we're excited when we get 40 degree temperatures. So I won't ask what the temperature is there today.
I want to tell. It's sunny.
Well, yeah. Well, what is the temperature today?
It's probably 65. It'll probably be 65 and clear.
Okay.
On the beach.
All right. Well, good.
Perfect walking weather.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, give us some parting advice that you would give a leader.
Well, I think, you know, it's Thanksgiving week. So what I might say this week is really acknowledge your team. It's a week of gratitude, both at home and in our communities and at work. And I think the sort of gratitude and thanking the team for the tough year. I mean, this has been an extraordinary year for every single company in every way. And I think acknowledging that out loud to your team and frankly to their families. A lot of these teams had to go on furloughs this year. It's been a real struggle. So I think acknowledging that and recognizing that teams need some energy and a break and they need to recharge in order to bring the growth that we want in 2021. So taking time for that and helping your teams take time for that.
Yeah. Well, Karen, this has been a lot of fun to talk to you and appreciate all your thoughts. I know it's going to be helpful to those that are listening, and happy Thanksgiving.
Welcome.
This will air after Thanksgiving, but it's always good to be thankful. So appreciate your time and insights.
Oh, you're very welcome. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for listening to the Motivated to Lead podcast. Please subscribe on iTunes. You can also see a video version of this interview at motivatedtolead.com. This podcast is brought to you by SEMA Partners, helping you find your next great leader.